people to volunteer, to walk the parade. We need people to volunteer, to go over to the fellowship hall. We put the sign up, but nobody's signing up. And it's kind of hard to, I mean, y'all might already have already said it, that you're going to do it. But if you don't sign up, we don't know. And so we don't have any names back there. It's like this. When we go to prison, I always start on Monday or Tuesday saying, we got it this Thursday. Who's going? Stephen is number one, right? I can almost hit sin, and Stephen sends back me, all right? Then there's a couple more that'll send, but then I don't hear anybody else, and I keep sending. Even on Thursday, I'll send it two or three times. Who's going? I need to know, and nobody will send me anything, and I don't find out until it's time to leave how many we got going, and that makes it kind of hard because I can call ahead and get some more people if we need them. The same way with this, and I'm not fussing. I'm just saying is if we don't, we can't plan if we don't know. Okay, so we need people to walk the parade. We need people in the fellowship hall to work. We need somebody to volunteer to bring cookies, and somebody bring hot chocolate, and somebody bring candy for the parade. And I've sent out a text to about, I don't know, 25 people today and said, we need, and Stephen was really funny because Stephen said, I didn't get Mighty Army today, but I got one saying I need cookies. So again, we need people, and I know it's going to be fine. I know we're going to have people on Sunday, but as of right now, we don't know. And so if somebody doesn't show up, Jeanette's awesome. I mean, she's got a cape on, and I'm pretty sure she got Wonder Woman somewhere on her sleeve or something, but she ain't that fast. She can't run all around the fellowship hall and do it all. And so, right, and so we need volunteers. And if y'all can talk to other people in the church, and I'm not just throwing it at y'all because y'all are here. I'm saying, period. We need volunteers. We need volunteers bad because I don't want our churches represented in the community. And if we get here and and there's nobody doing anything, that looks bad. Very bad, you know, on our church and on the community. So we need people to fellowship hall and help serve. Get it ready and serve hot chocolate. How many do you normally need, Jeanette? Two people, three people, four people? Okay, and how about how much? Okay, what about cocoa and cookies? Okay, now the cookies, you can just go buy these little round cookies, the little round ones that look like stick your finger in it, and you get like 100, used to be 100 in a pack. You don't get 100 in a pack anymore, but those things, there's a bunch of them. You know, if you store-bought cookies, because if you go making homemade cookies, there's no way to make enough homemade cookies. You'll work yourself to death. But you can buy, you can buy a chocolate chip, you can buy sugar cookies, you can buy all kinds of them. Most of them are, shortbread. And animal crackers, that'll work too. Animal crackers, but we need a bunch of them because when the kids, last year we had a bunch of kids and they will eat them cookies. Also, so that's important. And did we tell everybody we wanted to bring an animal this year? So do we have any left over? So we're going to give them to the kids when they come in. So again, we're going to need some help with all this, and we're going to try to make sure we got some elves to help out Mr. and Mrs. Claus. And so that's going to be good. Okay, we're going to pray for that same chance of rain like the chance was I was going to win a shotgun. I'm not going to let him live that one down. Look, it's fine. It did? Okay, well, hold on. I can look it up right now. Okay, mine's Sunday. The AccuWeather at the moment says Sunday is going to be cloudy. Didn't say rain, but it said cloudy, which is a chance of rain. Anytime you got a cloud, you got a chance of rain. And if y'all want to see the skydive that came out today, it's on YouTube. Skydive Little Washington. It's got David Sr., David Jr., and James. Daniel's James. James Daniel Linton. And you'll see the three crazy guys. And we're up 2 miles in the sky. And so you can see down below us as we're jumping out of the plane. My goggles kept trying to come off. And I pulled them back down. He said, put your arms out. I said, but goggles are coming off. I put them up there and I had to pull them tight again. Okay, so Sunday so far is a chance. I mean, it's 56%. Whoa. That's 56% chance of rain Sunday. Yeah. Oh, that. Okay. Yeah, don't rain on your parade. That's right. Okay. So, that's, but we need people. And if you can tell them we need them. And that's not trying to be, fussy. That's just telling you we ain't got anybody. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We got the costumes are gonna be fine. It's just we just got to have adults to ride with them, and the adults make them wear costumes. So that's not a problem. You're gonna have two elves, hopefully. We got to see if Sierra was gonna be an elf again. Both Sierras were elves last year. Year before? Okay. Okay. Is C going to help Santa? This is so cool. I remember at a funeral home, I'm sitting here and they ask me who can we get for ushers or not ushers or who can we get for pallbearers. I sit there and I'm doing all this water and I can give them answers, you know. And never even have to pick up the phone and dial. That's pretty cool. Is she going to help Santa this year after? Oh yeah. I did a funeral one time. I did a funeral for the man 20 years earlier, and the place was packed. 20 years later, all his family had died off, and she was in a nursing home with Alzheimer's. And I preached a funeral and was a pallbearer. That's sad. Okay. Okay, we'll pass around the list. No, you don't need to walk off your back. No, don't hurt yourself. That ain't worth it. You don't need to walk and you don't need to walk. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, she's a good cook. Okay, so here we go. Let's go and go over our Bible study, and y'all can go ahead and write and sign that while we're going through. And if y'all know people that normally help, or you know people that would like to help or said anything, call them up and talk to them. Get some more people engaged, because I have noticed that as years go on and on and on, I reckon people sometimes feel like everything's getting thrown on them, or they're going to be left holding the bag, and so they don't volunteer until the very end, so they don't get left holding the bag. And we need people to volunteer. You know what I'm saying? They just need to volunteer. Because if you don't, that's why things stop happening, because people don't show up or people don't volunteer. Whenever you don't show up to a church event, you're casting your vote for it not to happen. All right, when every church has an event and you don't show up, you're saying that my vote is let's don't have it. Okay, let's just think about it that way. Think about it that way. It's like, how would y'all like to, and I'm getting you a minute, okay? How would you like to cook your husband a fine meal. And he stopped at McDonald's and ate and came home and you had that fine meal. And he goes, that's not important. I stopped at McDonald's. How would you feel about that? Now look, or how about if how would you feel about that? You know, the same way is if you had something really nice planned for the weekend for you and your husband or you and your kids. And I know my kids did this to me a lot after my mother died. They would all say they were coming over and I would cook and I would go buy all this meat and I'd buy all these hamburgers and all these hot dogs and nobody show up and I got all this stuff cooked and only one kid show up. And they did that constantly for a while. You know, they were so, it was undependable. I mean, just honestly. And I got to where I just stopped cooking. And somebody said, why'd you stop cooking, Dad? I said, because y'all stopped eating. You know, you stopped coming. You know, and so the same way is it's one thing to have stuff. And then you decide, well, you know, I'm glad it's there. If I decide to go, it's there. It's nothing if we're having something, let's be a part of it. You know, let's just be a part of it. And that's what I do with anything like that. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of what's going on. They're gonna draft. The draft's come back. It sure does. All right. That's awesome. Oh, man. All right. Well, that's not, I know it makes you feel funny, don't it? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeannie. Okay. Well, see, and another, there you go. And this is, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lie from the world and a lie from Satan. And this lie is so prevalent and we fall for it. Remember the Shaggy D.A., the Tim the Tool Man? He turned into the dog and go, I'm not chasing that car, I'm not chasing that car. And the car go by and he would chase the car and I'm not going to chase the ball and he would chase the ball. Well, he'd fall for it every time. There's a lie from Satan that we fall for all the time. And that is, nobody will even notice if I'm not there. Yes. And I want you to think about something. When you don't show up, not only do you cast your vote that it's not important, and then sometimes you got to be somewhere. Sometimes you're sick. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you just don't want to come. Okay. Number one, you cast that vote that it's not important. Number two, if somebody's in there that's normally, they get encouraged by your presence and get encouraged by you being there, then they get discouraged when you don't show up. And so there's a lot going on, and Satan will love to get in that mind. Nobody will know if you don't show up. They'll not even notice it. Well, I can tell you, I do. When I look out there and look in the, see the pews, I already start figuring out who's not here. While I'm playing praise and worship, I look out and go, well, they're not here, and they're not here. I hope everything's okay. Huh? If you're sick, you don't need to be here. Right. Oh, yes. And we fill out cards. If you're not here, you get a card. You get a card that says we missed you. Do you know there's some people that get 3 cards a month? And some people get 4 cards a month? No, I mean, seriously. And you got to come to church to hear it. To read it. You're written in tongues. What I'm saying is, though, your presence is important. It's very important. You're not just here to hear the word. You're here to lift up other people and to be with them. and to be an encouragement to other people. All right, here we go. I'm going to get off my soapbox. No, I'm not. I'm just going to change soap. Okay, we're going to go this one here. Who is he? God, okay? We started last week on the characteristics of each member of the Trinity, so I'm not going to go through a whole bunch of that. I'm just going to say I've shortened it up a little bit. People want to know who God is, what he does, and why he does the things he does. To answer these questions, we must understand without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, we talked about him last week. It was really, really awesome. Last week, it was, let's see here. Last week, we talked about he was omniscient, all-knowing. He was omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, present everywhere. He was eternal, not bound by time, and he was immutable, unchanging. So now we're going to talk about the rest of them. Then we're going to switch to something different next week. First, he is incomprehensible. When I say incomprehensible, I want you to assume talk, unfathomable and mysterious. You can't go low enough to get beyond God. You can't go high enough to get beyond God. I went up 2 miles in the sky and jumped out of that plane. I told that guy, I said, I want to get close to God. I said, I've been higher than this in an airplane, but I've never been this high with nothing but a parachute. And it was amazing. It was amazing to be out there. And I told, it even helped me with my counseling. And I told them about Bethany when they were talking about sending her send her far away. I said, I want her away. One of her friends saw me the other night, and I didn't even recognize the friend, but it was one of them that got in trouble with her. And she said, where's Bethany? First, when she saw me, she thought she had swallowed a watermelon. And then she said, oh, you're Mr. Linton. And I said, yes, and I called her name out. And she said, where's Bethany? I said, she's not here. She said, where is she? I said, she's far, far away. And then she realized we weren't going any further with that conversation. Okay, and again, I told those ladies, I said, I jumped out of a plane last week, and one thing I realized when I went out of that plane, and you're falling at 260 miles an hour, okay? You're falling, and there's nothing to grab a hold of. Nothing. And you got that guy hooked to your back, and he's talking to you, and you got to trust what he says. And you got to do what he says, or you're going to wind up being flat on the ground. And so I thought about that, and I said, you know what? That's what I want Bethany to be totally when she jumps out in this, to have nothing to grab but God. And when she's got nothing to grab but God, she'll realize God's all she needs. And so that's how I felt about playing. And a lot of us, we could figure that out. It'd be awesome. So incomprehensible, unfathomable, mysterious. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his past beyond tracing out. Since God is incomprehensible, there's always more to learn about him. Every time I think, you know, in Bible college, I've taken on how many theology courses? Plus, I took theology 101, theology 20 whatever. And it seems like I'm always taking theology courses. And even now in this counseling, I still have to take I don't know how many hours of theology. And you think, well, you've already learned it. No, you haven't. I told one person sometime back, there was a person I was counseling, and they were depressed. And I said, I gave them a sheet. I said, here's a sheet of scriptures, and I need you to go down these scriptures every day. And here's how I want you to go down. I broke it up. I said, when you come back to me next week, I want all these scriptures to have been read at least one time. When they came back, they said, I said, did you read the scriptures? No, but I've read the Bible twice. I said, since last week? And they said, no, but I've read the Bible twice in my lifetime. I said, you don't understand what I'm saying. I need you to read these scriptures. These pinpoint where you're at. So the next week they come back and I said, have you read these scriptures? And they said, no, but I've read the Bible twice. And I said, that's not what I ask. I told you last week, reading the Bible twice is an awesome thing, but that's not what you need right now. You need these scriptures. The third week they come back, and they said, I said, have you read those scriptures? And they said, no, but I've read the Bible twice. I said, well, if you don't read these scriptures this week, don't come back next week, because you don't want help. It sounds kind of tough, don't it? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. And so I said, if you can't read that then, and you think you've already got it because you read the Bible twice, then you got a problem, because I read the Bible all the time and I've never got to the end of it. Every time I think I got a scripture down and got it figured out, it always changes. It just speaks, because the Bible says it's powerful and alive and life-giving. And so again, the Bible is so incomprehensible because it speaks to your immediate need every time. And that's why, as a theologian, I am called a grassroots theologian. That's what a pastor is, a grassroots theologian. I'm the one that tries to help you understand theology, the study of God. And I'm the one that's supposed to be here to help guide you. Same way, you at your house, husbands, are the priest of your home. Whether we like it or not, husbands, we're the priest of the home. Eddie, you're the priest of your home. But you know that. And so, and when you were living with your mama, you were the priest of your home, even when your mama was there. You were the priest of your home. And our job is to know the word so that we can help everybody else out. But again, since God is incomprehensible, there's always more to learn about him. We can never discover the mystery of all that he is as he chooses to reveal himself. I've seen John 3:16 has been revealed to me in so many different ways. And I thought I had it when I first got saved. Then I thought I had it a couple years later. Then I thought I had it a couple years later. And I find out even recently, John 3:16 had a whole different meaning. When I'm in there trying to help Bethany, or I'm in one of those rehabs, and I'm talking to people, or I'm in the PCDC, or in the hospital, you know, it amazes me how the same scripture that addressed this problem here addressed a different problem at PCDC. One was not a legal problem. One was actually a spiritual problem. The legal problem was a legal problem and a spiritual problem, and addressed it in a different way. God's word does that. So God is so unfathomable and mysterious. We don't know where we just know he always was. That's it. The Bible is not the story of the beginning of God. The Bible is not even the story of the beginning and end of Satan. The Bible is the story of man's creation, man's fall, and man's redemption, and man's future state. That's what the Bible is about. It tells us in mysteries, it tells us about the devil. It tells us where he came from. It tells us where he's going to be. But the story of the Bible is not to pinpoint Satan. The story of the Bible is not to pinpoint God. The Bible is to pinpoint us. God made us, and he made us lower than the angels, but higher than the animals, and he wants us to have fellowship with him. And that's why he put the tree in the garden, so that we would not be robots. We would have a choice. And if Adam and Eve, who were created by God, living in a perfect environment, could not leave it alone, who do we think we are? And it amazes me that as we get older and older and older, I keep thinking about that person that time telling me, oh, I've read the Bible twice. And I went, but you don't get it. These scriptures address your problem. And again, I read the Bible twice. That's all they could say is I read the Bible twice. And all I keep saying is, but you need to read these scriptures, because I'm a minister to you from these scriptures. And in order for me to minister to you from these scriptures, I need you to get these scriptures in you so I can minister to you. And the same way, you know, you may have come to church 30, 40, 50 years, but you still get something different every time you come. This Sunday is going to be the miserable blessing. Unless he just changes it, it's going to be the miserable blessing. I drove back last night. We drove seven or 8 hours yesterday. I get home at 9:30, and I immediately go to work. I couldn't work because I was driving. So I immediately go to work, working on the miserable blessing. And the miserable blessing, I'll give you a little heads up on it, is we are raising a generation of I showed up, give me a trophy. Marina did not get. I went up to Don and Jeannie's a couple weeks ago, and I went upstairs to work on the furnace. And I come down, and I looked at all those trophies that were from Marina's karate championship bouts. She did not get that great old big trophy for just showing up. She worked her tail off. Oh, she hurt some people too. But look at all those trophies. They were not there for just showing up. But we're raising a generation, and we're raising a generation of people that think, well, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to work hard because the government's going to take care of me. And you make it, and they're going to take it and share it with me. That's what's happening. Like it or not, I'm not trying to get into politics, but that's what's happening. Yesterday we stopped two or three times. From Sunday to Monday, we stopped two or three times to get coffee and to get something to eat. And we watched, and I could not believe the craziness of these places and how they were messing up orders, and they were acting like they could care less, and they weren't even looking at you when they gave you your money back. And Linda will say this, and we say it together now, and they want $15 an hour. You know, and there's guys that have four-year degrees that don't make $15 an hour. You know, and so again, we got that generation. And God never intended it to be that way. Because with Mary and Joseph, what it is what it's not that God wants you to be miserable, but there's a time in your blessing when God's blessing you that you're going to be miserable. The reason you're going to be miserable is because God's working out the plan. And the plan goes against your grain. And when it goes against your grain, then it's going to make you miserable. But in the end, you will be happy. In the end, you will see this. But right at the moment, there's going to be a time where you're miserable. And think about Mary, what she all went through. And John's family, what John the Baptist, what his family went through. And all this stuff. It's just an amazing thing what Joseph had to go through. And all those babies getting killed. Herod killing all those babies when the wise men came. You know, there was some misery going on down there. And Mary not even knowing where we're going to be. I got the Christ child, and I can't even stay one place. I got the Christ child. Don't they know that? See, again, just because you're blessed doesn't mean it's going to be hunky-dory and you're going to smile and laugh and everything's going to be fine. There's times when God's blessing you and you are miserable. And if we can understand that, get past the "I showed up, give me a trophy." You know, it's like when I go in there and I will take, I've took some of my youngest trophies and the "I showed up" trophies. I took them from them. I said, "Give me a magic marker. We're going to put up here what it was for. You didn't just show up. You worked hard for this one. You know, you did good defense on this one. You get offense, or you shot those baskets. You went out there and you practiced so hard." But I still remember playing basketball. Our team went undefeated one year, totally undefeated against every other team out there. The reason we went undefeated, because we all practiced in the gym at the same time. That we shared half a court apiece. My guys actually learned how to dribble. My guys learned how to throw the ball around. My guys learned how to, I showed them all this. I showed them teamwork. I showed them how to keep from fouling, because I coached a high school team, so now I'm coaching a league team. And I showed them all this. The other guys, they just said, "Throw the ball to the guy that can shoot." Again, I showed up. My guy said, "How come we got to practice so hard?" I said, "You watch what'll happen." And we would just blow them away, because they only had one guy that could shoot out of five guys on the floor. We had five guys on the floor that all five could shoot. If you took one of them off and put one of them off the bench, he could shoot. And he could play. Again, that's what God wants with us. He wants us to be ready to do things. And so sometimes it seems like we're miserable, but we got to understand God's building something in us bigger than we ever could imagine. He's not just wanting to bless us. "Here you go, you got a car and you got this and blah, 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 blah." No, he's building something in us. And so that's why we're miserable in the middle of our blessing, is God's building us. So that's kind of a preview of the Sunday. But you won't hear a bunch of that, I don't think. But you're hearing the preview. Self-existent. Life in himself. The Father has life in himself. That's so awesome. The Father has life in himself. He is life. So he has granted the Son to have life in himself. John 5:26. Since God is self-existent, he can never be destroyed. He can never die. He can never cease to exist. He will always be there for me. He will always be there for you. God cannot lie, and God cannot die. Remember I talked about Sunday, and we talked about it here first. If God said Stephen's wearing a white shirt, by the time we looked at it, it'd be white, because God cannot lie. If God said I had an afro, when you looked up here, I'd look like one of the Jackson 5. Because God cannot lie. Once he speaks it, it comes into existence. All right? He is self-sufficient. Within himself, God is able to act. From him and through him and to him are all things. Romans 11:36. Why? That's powerful. From him and through him and to him are all things. Wow. Since God is self-sufficient, he does not need anything or anyone else to accomplish his will for my life. Now, guess what? That's why if you're thinking that you need so-and-so and so-and-so, and you need this for God to use you, no, you don't. You know who you need? God. God. If God can use a rooster to convict a prophet, if he can use a mule, use anything he wants to. Remember telling about the time I was on third shift and I was just ill? Remember sitting listening to gospel music and I just started fussing at Beverly. I was fussing. DC was about a year and a half old and I couldn't stop fussing. I was just ill from being on third shift. And DC walked over to between me and his mama and he grabbed her hand and he grabbed mine and said, "Let's pray." And he bowed his head and we bowed our head. And he started praying. We went and prayed with him. God whooped me that night. But God showed his self-sufficiency through DC. So, self-sufficient. He's infinite, boundless. I mean, it amazed me. I looked on the film today, and I think you see me turn my head. He says, "Take your glasses off." Because after we've done the free fall, we free fall for 40 seconds. We free fall probably a mile. And then he says, "Take your glasses off." So I took my glasses off, put them around. He said, "Now look over your right shoulder." And we were floating. Under my right shoulder, and there was the sunset. He said, "You are seeing something the people on the ground can't even comprehend." He said, "They don't see it." He said, look at that beautiful sunset." Wow. You know, it's like being in a plane. But the difference was there wasn't a window I was looking out of. I was looking at it. It was so amazing to me. But again, where can I go to flee from your spirit? Now, I'm gonna get this Bible so I can finish reading this because I didn't, there was too much to write. It was taking up too much space. So, Psalm 139. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there if you want, but it's Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and 7 through 12. It says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." I mean, you can't pull the wool over his eyes. You can't cover his eyes. He sees it. He can see in the night just as good as he can see in the day. And that's a good thing to think about when you're going through something. I can't see where to go, but he can. He's boundless. Since God is infinite, he has power and presence. His power and presence, no N-K-N-O-W, no N-O limit. There's no limits with God. Wow. He can do as he pleases in my life. Remember telling you a story about DC and Danny? We were fishing out there by the hospital. We were fishing in Washington. I can't think of what you call it. It's right at Washington Park, Havens Gardens. We're fishing. The boys are little, and Daniel's taking DC's Rambo knife. And DC goes to grab the Rambo knife from Daniel and it's pointed right toward his face. And he pulls it. I watched him. and it banged it right in his eye. And DC starts screaming. I go look, and oh, look, and there's a gash, and the blood's coming out of his eye. And so I just picked him on up, and I threw him in the car, and I said, let's go, Beverly, let's go. We get in the car, and we only had to go a block to get to the hospital. And I just pulled out of Havens Gardens. I was on the highway, and the Lord spoke to me just as clear as day, and he said, have you spoken to me about this yet? I went, whoa. And I pulled right over. Beverly says, what are you doing? His eye's bleeding. I said, the Lord just spoke to me. We're pulling over. And so she reaches in the back seat. She gets DC, and we pray for him. When we get to the hospital, as God is my witness, when we get to the hospital, the doctor said, Doc, he just got stabbed in the eye with a knife. And it was a plain knife, but it was still, it gouged his eye and it's bleeding bad. And the doctor opened his eye and he said, where? There was dried blood, but nothing but dried blood. Just dried blood. Show me it had been there, but the gash was gone. There was no more bleeding. And again, and God told me, said, have you talked to me? Excuse me. And I remember one time in church, one of the young ladies had asthma. And not here. This was in another church. But she had asthma really, really bad. And when she got an attack, she had to be taken care of immediately. She has an asthma attack in church. And one of the guys said, we got to go, Pastor. She's having, I hurt her. He just picked her, so we got to go. And I said, hold on, let's pray for her. He said, we ain't got time for that. And he ran out to the car. And I just sat there and said, did he just tell me that? And I didn't say it out loud. We ain't got time to pray. And all of a sudden, he comes running back in with his daughter, gasping for breath. He says, I'm sorry, Lord. And we prayed for her. And by the time she got back to the hospital, it was gone. Not going to do anything. God took care of it. So, is anything too hard for God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's boundless. I remember one time I had an ulcer. I don't know how many ulcers, but it was an ulcer. I was bleeding at both ends. I couldn't eat. It was in bad shape. And we were sitting, me and Burt Boyd. Y'all know Burt Boyd. Some of y'all know Burt Boyd. We were sitting to go sing someplace that night in a revival. And I said, I can't go. I'm too sick. And I sat there at the house, and I just laid on the couch, and I was just miserable. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you too sick to minister for me? And I said, no. He said, what you doing here? So I got up, and I got in the car, drove there. Bert was tuning up. I said, Bert, I got my bass. Let's tune up. So we tuned up, and we played. My stomach was still hurting. I was feeling sick. I thought I was going to throw up. We played. We got through, and we sat on the front bench, and we're watching during the revival while the guy's preaching, and nobody ever touched me, ever laid a hand on me. I'm sitting on the front row, and I felt, and you know when your leg goes to sleep and starts waking up, that feeling you get, that feeling reached inside my stomach, and I felt it go in, and I felt it pull out, and it pulled me up out of my sleep, and I heard a voice say, you're healed. And I never had another problem again. Ever. My God's boundless. Boundless. The biggest thing is he saved me. That shows he's boundless. Matter of fact, saving some of y'all shows he's boundless. Amen? That's right. So, now, transcendent. He's above all. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's so many times that we see things in. I did a funeral for a 39-year-old man just a few weeks ago, and he wasn't a churchgoer, and they didn't have any idea what to do for music, and we were sitting down, and we were trying to figure out the music, and he had children still living at home, and we were trying to figure out the music, and they said, Pastor, can you help us? And so I was going through, and I was going to do Amazing Grace by Chris Tomlin, but I came across He's a Good, Good Father, and so I had it. And I played it, and I said, what about this? And they started crying and said, yes. And that day, at the very end, before I called the guys up to take the coffin out, I said, you don't understand this day. It doesn't make sense. He's only 39 years old. And nothing, everything you're thinking, you're crying. God, I don't understand, and I'm angry. So, but you got to understand something. He's a good, good father. He knows what's best, and he's got this under control. And you'll know later on what's happening. You got to trust our good, good Father. And when I said that, they started playing it. He's a good, good Father. And when we walked out, the family came up to me and said, wow. Wow. We still don't understand, but wow, the peace we've got is our good, good Father. You know, he's above all. That guy later on could have, look, I would much rather die. Listen, I know this sounds crazy. I'd much rather die now in a car crash than to die of some debilitating disease that keeps me messed up for years. I'd much rather go ahead and get on out of here. Or sometimes God's sparing you, and sometimes he's sparing other people the pain. And we don't understand that. But his ways are not our ways. There's times where my mama and my sister were just like this. I mean, they fought like cats and dogs. No matter what we did, it was like that all the way. And it used to drive me crazy from the time she was little to the time she was big. It was constant. And then mama got sick. And then she wound up losing one leg. Then she lost the other leg, and her kidneys and her heart and her eyes and all this stuff. And during all of this, her and my sister grew so close. And my mama, when we called to the bed, she called to the bed to bless all of us before she lost her mind eventually, because they quit doing dialysis on her. She was going to die. And she said, I can't tell you why I'm sick, but I can tell you one thing that God did through this sickness. He restored my relationship with my daughter. And she said, I would get sick 100 times over if I knew, and sooner if I knew, it would have restored my relationship with my daughter like this. And there it goes again. My ways are not your ways. His ways are higher, and so his thoughts are higher. So we're sitting there thinking God's being mean to us, and God's going, "Not, I got this under control. I got this thing already. I'm not trying to figure it out. I've already got it." We're trying to figure it out. He's already got it. You know, it's like trying to teach my kids math, or trying to, back in the day when I was teaching my kids how to play instruments. Now they're teaching me. But back in the day when I was trying to teach them, it would aggravate them so bad because I would know a song already, or I'd hear a song on the radio and I'd say, let's pick this song out. You got to learn how to play by ear. If it's not there, you're not going to be able to. But if it is there, this is going to help you learn how to play by ear. And so I told them the method, the 1-4-5 method. I said, here's what we're going to play. I want you 4-1-4-5. And I want you to name off your keys, 1-4-5, and this is going to be your primary keys. It was in G, it's G, A, B, C, D, G, C, and D. That's your primary. G is your primary, and you're going to go here, and you got a relative binding. And I showed them how. I said, now I want you to listen to this song. I mean, listen to this song. Take your finger on a string, and I want you to pull it up and find what key it's in, and then start playing. And they used to get so mad at me because I'd be sitting there playing. And they'd be going, Dad, now they're doing it. And I'm going, huh? But what I'm saying is, though, again, I already knew it. They didn't. They were trying to, hold on, Dad, I'm trying to figure this out. I didn't have to figure it out. I already had it. And so, again, we're trying to figure things out in our life and don't understand God's already got this. I mean, there was a time I got sick, and when I was in the hospital, but in the doctor's office, I'm thinking, Lord, I ain't got time for this. I don't need to be here. I need to be here. There's 100 places I need to be. And I'm here at the doctor's office just trying to satisfy my wife that I'm here. And when I get there, I wind up ministering to 2 or 3 people that probably wouldn't have got ministered to if they hadn't had somebody, a Christian in there that knew how to minister to people. They might not have got that ministry taken care of that day. Or there's been times I've been swearing I was ministered to, and I wouldn't have got ministered to if that situation hadn't happened. And sometimes it's a mutual ministering to. So when things happen, don't sit back and go, I sent the mighty army this, I think it was this morning. We have problems, or was it yesterday morning, this morning? We have problems, and we wanted to ask, let me pull it up. Better if I just pull it up. Let's see here. Here we go. Let's see. Okay. Today was, when you don't know what to say, just say thank you, Lord. Okay. But yesterday was, there's a purpose in your problems. You look at what happened, but God looks at why it happened. It's powerful. You look at what happened and go, ugh. And God looks at it and goes, I know what happened. I want you to learn something from this. So, transcendent. And then finally, he's sovereign. He's the supreme ruler. He is the man. There is none like him. He's the man. Him and Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. There's none like the Trinity. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Daniel 4:35. Wow, that's powerful stuff. This right here, this stuff you're learning right now about God, if this doesn't increase your faith, wow. You know what I'm saying? This ought to really increase your faith. You know, this reminds me of the time, again, this reminds me of the time that you heard her talk about it, Hazel talk about it, the time after I didn't have any more insurance and all that, I left all that behind to go into full-time ministry. And for the first time, I had to go to a drugstore, and I only had a dollar copay for all those years, and sometimes no copay. And now I go up there, and it's $20, and I don't have but, I don't know, $5 or $10. And I go in, and she says it's twice as much as I got. And I said, I don't know what to do. And so I just took the money and gave it to her, and I said, I have to go find some more. And I go out in the car and pray and said, Lord, I ain't got any more money. I don't know what to do. I stepped out on faith. I did this. You told me to do this. And now the very first thing is Daniel gets sick. We're trying to clear off the land, and Daniel gets sick in the poison sumac, and he's so bad off that he has to have this special medicine. And you knew that, and here I am. What do I do? And all I could hear was, trust me, trust me, trust me. And I said, well, I don't know what to do. So I come back in to try to figure out a deal to work out with Hazel. And Hazel says, look at this. Under her, the money was under her stapler. I never touched it. I counted it. She counted it. It was half of what I needed. She goes back and she pulls it up, but I'm trying to figure out something, and there was what we needed. And she went back to check her register to make sure her register was not wrong. I'm telling you, our God can do anything. 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 He's sovereign. He rules over all things. He will. I got will cannot. I should have said cannot. His will, excuse me, it's his will. I meant to put big W. His will, big W, his will cannot be thwarted. His will cannot be challenged. God's will cannot be subsided. God is awesome. Yes. Yes. So, again, I have over the years, I was talking to somebody just the other day, they were telling me their husband was sick. And they said, the doctor hadn't given long to live, and we don't know what to do. And all I could think about, I just stopped and told him, I said, well, you know, there's three ladies in our church, three. In the last few years. The first one, of course, was Ireland. What was Ireland's first name? She had a Mickey. Mickey Ireland. Mickey Ireland, they called me. She was in intensive care in Newburgh. They called me in there, and they said, her body's shutting down. Before the end of the day, we're going to pull the plug. And so I heard that with my own ears. So I get with her daughter, and we start calling, and we get pallbearers. I was called Steve, and I called whoever, start getting pallbearers. And we waited, and finally the doctor hadn't come out. So when the doctor comes on his rounds, we're gonna pull the plug. So the doctor came by on his rounds and didn't come back and talk to us. So I said, well, that's not right. So I waited. We waited again. We were there for 8 hours. Waited again for the doctor to come by on his rounds. And then we said, when are you going to pull the plug? And the doctor said, why? He just told us earlier that day he was going to pull the plug. But here's what happened. During the day, we went in to pray for her. And she was hooked up. She couldn't talk because she had a hose in her. And she had all the stuff hooked up to her in the room. And we were praying with her. And her daughter was saying, Mama, I wish. You know, Mama. And I said, Mickey. She was looking really weird at me. I said, Mickey, what's wrong? And she kind of talked to him, but she couldn't. And I said, and this was kind of out of my character, too. I said, you don't want to die, do you? And she said, no, because she'd heard the report, too. And out of nowhere, it just hit me. I said, well, then don't. That's what I told her. And I reached down and I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, she don't want to die today. Don't let her. That's all it was. That, just like that. And I remember that doctor comes and says, everything's waking back up. They took her out of intensive care the next day after they're not pulling the plug. She lived 6-7 years after that. Nora Brinson, we were right in there. We were right there, weren't we, when they pulled the plug and said, told her, said, she's going out of here. They pulled the plug. Guess what? They put her in another room. Then they put her in another room. And they put her in another room. And they said, we got, she's taking up space. She's fine. Send her home. How long did she live? Yeah. Yeah. And then the prize winner, May. She, I don't know if anybody's been kicked out of hospice twice. I remember they called me in. We were here. The guy was doing the painting, the chalk drawing. We got a call. I left. Patrick went with me. We got there, and the doctor says she won't make it through the night. I get there, and she whispers in my ear. She says, Lord's coming for me. I won't make it much longer. And so we just prayed and left and come back. And not only was she, not only did the doctor quit saying she was going to die, but in a matter of a week or so, they kicked her out of hospice. So then she got sick again, and they put her in hospice. And again, they kicked her out of hospice. I don't know how in the world. Look, she, I thought she holds the record, but she holds the record for this church of being kicked out of hospice. But why? Here's why. How Mickey made it, how Nora made it, how May made it, was God is incomprehensible. He's unfathomable because he's self-existent. He has life in himself, and he gave life to them. He's self-sufficient within himself. He can act above and beyond what the doctors say. He's infinite, boundless. He'll have you kicked out of hospice twice. You can pull the plug, and he'll still live. You can say, look, you had the stuff hooked up to you, and your body's shutting down. And all of a sudden, they go, and all of a sudden, they got to stop because everything's waking back up. He's transcendent. He's above all. He can do what he pleases. Nobody can question him. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than thoughts. He's sovereign. He's the supreme ruler. God said, the doctor said on all three of them, your time's up. The meter's running out. And God reached right down to the meter and said, hold on, and turned that meter a little bit more and said, no, I don't think it's out. Look at there. That's right. And so the same way with us. When you got a problem going on, our God is that kind of God. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Now, Confucius can't do it. But the great God Jehovah, wow, incomprehensible, self-existent, self-sufficient, infinite, boundless, transcendent, above all, supreme ruler, sovereign, praise the Lamb of God. We got that kind of God. Why do we have to fear things? Why do we have to fear? They call my mama rubber ball. They gave her up, I don't know how many times, said, you're not going to make it through the next month. And she bounced back and bounced back and bounced back and bounced back. And you know when she finally died? When she told my daddy after a Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving, we put up the Christmas tree. And as we put up the Christmas tree, Mama was in her bed watching us put up the Christmas tree because she didn't have any legs. And she told my daddy that night, she said, honey, please don't be upset with me, but I'm ready to go home. And she died a few weeks later. Lenny Rice, I was there with him. I was right there with him at his house, and he was burning up with a fever. And I remember I went to go get Bethany, and I stopped at the gas station, and I get a phone call, and it's in the phone call is Roxanne, and she's crying. And I've never had this kind of phone call before. She calls up and says, Brother David, I said, what? She says, please quit praying for Lenny to live. And I said, I'm sorry, Roxanne. I don't understand what you're saying. She said, please quit praying for Lenny to live. Let him go. And I said, what are you talking about, Roxanne? And she handed the phone to Lenny. And Lenny said, bruh, I love you, man. And he says, we've been a long ways together. He says, but I want to go home. Will you please let me go home? And so I went to get Bethany. I said, okay, brother, Lord bless him. I went to get Linda so we could go to Aurora, and by the time we got to Aurora, he had died. God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to. Amen? Amen. God's awesome. Somebody say God's awesome. That's right. God's awesome. Amen. That's right. Well, let's stand up. Let's stand up. Unless you got anybody got any questions or got anything to say? All right. Here we go. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that we do not walk alone. And we've got a great God, Jehovah, that is all powerful, that cannot be defeated. He cannot be denied. He will not lie. He will overcome in any situation. I thank you, God. Your ways are higher than our ways. I don't understand it, Lord, but I do thank you. And Lord, just like when I jumped out of that plane, I realized that I had to listen to that man over me and hear what he had to say, or things were going to be bad. And the same way, there's nothing else to hold on to. Right now, Lord, there's times in our life when we get in situations, there's nothing else to hold on to. We got to listen to what the man says in his word. God knows how to lead us out. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us have a good night, and let us have a good Sunday and a good parade. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, hold back the rain. Amen.